Brother Farrell doesn't really need an introduction. He's been here many, many times before. I'm probably the one that needs to be introduced to you, but I'll ask Brother Farrell to come on and speak to us this morning.
It's a pleasure to be back at McClenny. Of course, we're always glad to see our kids, but it's also a pleasure to come to McClenny Church. I think of you often and hear from your well-being and Brother David's ministry. I appreciate so much, and I know you're so thankful for him. I just might mention that there's a lot of Primitive Baptist churches right now that don't have pastors. You have a whole lot to be thankful for. You've got a pastor and you've got a good man that's studying hard and giving his heart to your spiritual leadership. I guess I have just been back and forth on what to say this morning. I'm not going to take a lot of time, but I've settled on a scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 16. The reason, I guess, that this scripture has been impressed on my mind so much here lately, if I can kind of ramble here for a minute, I notice that we have a tendency to get in a rut. And the rut becomes the norm. And the rut may be really tough and hard and difficult in life. But it becomes the norm, and that's the way it's supposed to be, so don't bother me. You know, I'm fine in my rut. And I hate to be pushed out of my rut. It makes me uncomfortable. It makes me uncomfortable to be pushed out of my comfort zone. Well, we get to going along and, you know, life is good. The checks are coming in. The job's holding up. Everything is just going good. So then we begin to try to pray and worship, and we are sort of thankful. Sort of thankful. Because we've been so blessed that we can't remember how it once was, maybe. I guess Jesus left us that symbol, you know, it's on our most communion tables. I didn't look at this one. He said, in remembrance of me, don't ever forget the suffering that I have done for you. Don't ever forget that. So it's important that we remember where we come from, to appreciate where we are now. Amen. You see, it's been so good for so long. I've never been hungry. God's blessed me so much in my life. I've never been hungry. I've never been wealthy. Don't really care to be in the things of this world. I've got more than I can ask or think now. Thankful for that, I hope. But in order for me to realize how much I really do have and how thankful I should be, I need to re-examine from whence I have come. I don't know if any of you understand it when I say I come from the red hills of Mississippi. That's poor country. Crops don't do well there. But God blessed us through the whole years that I lived there. I've been away longer than I live there now, but I need to remember occasionally where I come from and how God has blessed me all these years to where I am now. I read a scripture in Ephesians. It says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. But the part I want to get out of that is having predestinated us into the adoption of children. Do you realize what that really means? We were born into Adam's family, bankrupt, broke. Nobody cared in Adam's family. Oh, we had good parents, yeah. Some of you may not have had good parents, but we were born, in God's eyes, we were born into a corrupt life. And Satan didn't care. It's amazing how much we were in poverty, at what deep poverty we were born into when we came into this world. I want to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 16 because it talks about Jerusalem, and I think it explains or describes our life. He said, I want you to go tell Jerusalem what kind of shape you're in and what I've done for you. Let's look at I'm in Ezekiel. That's what it says here on my page. Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 16. I'll give you a minute to find that because that's a hard book to find. Ezekiel chapter 16. Because he's going to tell Jerusalem, go tell Jerusalem these things. Tell Jerusalem where you've been, how you were born, how you came into this world, and what I've done for you. So I want us to look at that for just a minute. Now, while you're finding that, I'm going to go ahead and start reading Ecclesiastes. No. Ezekiel. I don't know. It's on my brain. Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 16. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abomination. And say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan, and thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. See where you come from? Jerusalem, you see where you come from? You have nothing to brag about. They were idolaters in those families. Verse 4, And as for thy nativity, in the day thou was born, thy navel was not cut, neither was thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou was not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I did. Now here's what the world and Satan thinks about you. And if the world and Satan had their way, this is the way you would still be treated. But something happened. We'll get to that. But here's the way. If you think the world is what you need, you think materialism, more money, a better job, a better standing in life, and all of that stuff, here's what it will do for you. None I pitieth thee to do any of these things unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou was cast out into an open field to the loading of thy person in the day that thou was born. Folks, here's where you come from. Here's where I come from. And when I pass by thee, people says, God owes me salvation because I chose Him. I had a good friend say that to me one time, said, I'm going to heaven. God owes me salvation because I accepted Jesus. I said, brother, you go think about what you just said for a while. We was at a break table at work, and the whole table got deathly silent. Everybody knew that man had overspoke. Before the day was over, he come back to me and he said, Danny, I'm wrong. Here's the way it happened. And when I passed by thee, I saw thee polluted in thine own blood. I said unto thee, when thou was in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou was in thy blood, live. I'm telling you, my friends, we're predestinated unto adoption. We're predestinated to be taken out of this family that we were born into and put in God's family in Jesus Christ our Lord, determined by the decree of God that He has chosen would be adopted out of this mess. I passed by then. It was a time of love. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellence, ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. You feel like that's where you come from? You feel like you experienced that? Now God has set you up better than you could ever imagine. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, the time was a time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Oh, what a story. What a story of salvation. This has been told to Jerusalem, and I hope I'm not overstepping by using it for my own experience, because I've lived here. Seemed like I've been through this. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee and anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered works and shod thee with badger skins and girded thee about with fine linen and covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and put bracelets upon thy hands and chains upon thy neck. And I put jewels on thy forehead and earrings in thine ears and a beautiful crown upon thy head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver and raiment, and was fine linen and silk and bordered works. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil. Thou was exceedingly beautiful. Thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And then he goes to show the fall again. But I just want to concentrate on that for just another minute or two. Born in Adam's family, nobody cared. If you think the world cares, you just got it wrong. You know, you make new friends sometimes, and you just think they'll be friends for the rest of your life. And it's no time until something comes between you, and they don't care if you're cast out into an open field. But God's children come to the house of the Lord, and we have a bond that binds us together. We're clothed with the righteousness of Christ. That old sinful blood has been washed away, and we've given the righteousness of Christ and robed with His righteousness and His guidance and His grace, and we have a bond. Oh, there's people that have differences in the church, and there's hurt feelings from time to time, but I want to tell you, my friends, people of God care. They care. You care for one another. You care. You might have little differences along the way, but you care. If you saw a brother or sister that was in trouble, you will help them because you care. But how is it now that we got into this family of God? It was a time of love. Somebody said, oh, Jesus looked down through time and he could see who would accept him and who would not, so he chose those that would accept. Well, this Bible tells me that God chose before the foundation of the world, and it was not according to foreknowledge. It was according to love. I have searched the scriptures for years to try to figure out why I was chosen into the kingdom of God. All I can find is because he loved me before the foundation of the world. Is that a good enough answer? This generation, this culture that we live in says that answer is not sufficient. I've got to have something to do. I tell you, my friends, that's the only answer that's sufficient is the love of God. You were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, not because he foreknew you, but because he loved you with an everlasting love. He told, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness have I drawn thee. That's why you're here today. That's why you love the Lord, because he loved you. And you're drawn to him by the power of his Holy Spirit. And you pray to him and he answers. You talk to him and he talks back. I can't explain that. You've got to experience that. I know you have. And I know that you know the God that I'm talking about. He's not a God of imagination. He's a God of love. He's a God of judgment. He's a God of justice. If we have to go before God in justice, I assure you, you will receive a just reward. He won't take a payoff. He won't make a political decision. He will make a just and righteous decision according to what he's told you in the scriptures. May God guide and direct us and keep us by his grace and his mercy. I thank you, and I let this brother come and preach to you.